You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
What happens when you come to the fork in the road where you have not just a choice or an option or a preference, but an alternative, where you have to take one or the other, and you can't take both?
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour. The International Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded transcript of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by Dr. Oswald Hoffman, Lutheran Hour speaker. It is our prayer that it will bring hope and joy to your life.
Lead us on the road to life through faith in your Son, Jesus Christ. Give us grace to trust in you as our Father and to treat one another in a kindly way with love. Forgive our sins and set our feet on the high road that leads us to the cross of your Son and to glory everlasting. In his saving name we pray. Amen. People like to think of life as a road down which you travel. Along the way, you meet a fork in the road. You have to take one of those two roads. You can't take both. That's called an alternative. The road of life presents all of us with choices which are very important, like the choice of a mate for life. With options, like decisions about where to go to school or where to work. And with preferences, even among family and friends. Choices, options, and preferences help to shape our lives and often turn out to be very important. As we look back upon the road, we can see how important they were. All those roads, however, with all the choices, options, and preferences, lead but to one end. There was no real alternative, no way of escaping that end. All the choices, options, and preferences are really detours leading to that end. The end, as all of you know by this time, is death. That's what people don't like to talk about. The dead end of the obituary looks about the same for one person as it does for another. The space allotted to it in the newspaper may be a little different for one person from what it is for another, but the end is just the same. The apostles of Jesus Christ went out into the world offering a real alternative. They talked about it as the great alternative. One fork in the road goes to death, and the other goes to life. One leads to destruction, and the other to salvation. One road is life, as most people know it, and the other is life, as people have it when they know Jesus Christ. The message of Jesus Christ was good news then, and it is good news now. It was light and life then, and it is light and life now. It is this great alternative that confronted a jailer at Philippi one night who asked two of his prisoners, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They answered, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your whole family." Everything changed in his household that night. The prisoners preached the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in his house. The jailer washed the wounds of those prisoners and took them into his own house. He and all his family were baptized at once. He gave those prisoners something to eat. He and his family were filled with joy because they now believed in God. From that time on, you didn't need to tell him. He told you. This is the great alternative. This is the difference between life and death. This is not just another detour. It is the road to life. Believe on the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved. St. Paul found that out for himself on the road one day. He kept telling people that at the fork in the road, there stands a cross. It is the cross of Jesus Christ. There he died for the sins of the world. You take one fork, and you go your own way. You take the other fork, and you go God's way. One road leads to death, and the other leads to life. This is the great alternative. For the message about Christ's death on the cross is nonsense to those who are being lost, said Paul. But for us who are being saved, it is God's power. For Scripture says, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and set aside the understanding of the scholars. Then where does that leave the wise, or the scholars, or the skillful debaters of this world? God has shown that this world's wisdom is foolishness. For God, in his wisdom, made it impossible for people to know him by means of their own wisdom. Instead, by means of the so-called foolish message we preach, God decided to save those who believe. When I came to you, my brothers, to preach God's secret truth, I did not use big words and great learning. For while I was with you, I made up my mind to forget everything except Jesus Christ, and especially his death on the cross. Faith, then, does not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. This is the great alternative. Trust in yourself or trust in Christ. Depend on yourself or have faith in Christ. Rehearse your goodness and the good things you have done, or receive the grace of God and accept his forgiveness for the sake of his Son, Jesus Christ. That's the great alternative. It's the difference between death and life. It's not just a little bit of both, but the difference between death and life. It is salvation from the destruction and escape by the grace of God from the dreary road which so many people call life, when really it is the road to death. A friend of mine has a lot of people in his Christian congregation who go out to visit people in the community with a question. If you were going to die tonight, what would happen to you? Or, when you meet God, why should he let you into heaven? Here are some of the answers they actually got. I'm good, and try not to hurt anyone. I believe in God. I'm a good mother. I help people and do what I wish they would do to me. I'm a good Lutheran, or a good Catholic, or a good Methodist, or a good Presbyterian, or a good Pentecostal, a good church member. I'm an unworthy sinner, but I'm not all that bad. I haven't done any wrong. I never hurt anyone intentionally. I've been active in the church and a member of the church board. I brought up our children in the church. My uncle was a pastor. The Lord knows I've done my best and tried to do his will. I live a righteous life. I believe in the hereafter. I live a good, clean life. I do the best I can. I serve on the volunteer fire department. God loves us so much that no one will go to hell. I'll have to go to hell for a little while for the wrongs I've done, but then I'll go to heaven. There's a thread that runs through all of these statements, no matter how religious some of them may sound. Somebody thinks, or has the faint hope, that somehow he's going to be saved by what he is, or by what he has done. St. Paul said, that's the fork to death. It's the fork to hell. It's the same thing that Jesus Christ said, when people thought of themselves as being righteous and despised others in the process. What must I do to be saved? A lot of people don't ask that question. The problem does not bother them. They don't even like to think that they're going to die. They know no one ever lives forever in this world, but they dismiss the reality of death from their conscious thinking, except maybe to buy some life insurance. At least they are thinking about those they leave behind, but not about where they themselves are going. They joke about undertakers, but they don't want to go near a cemetery. Ignoring their destiny. They hope to avoid it. Nobody gets out of this world alive, not on his own. Death is a certainty. So is the life hereafter. What must I do to be saved? It's a good question. What must I do to be saved? Saved from what? Get as much fun out of your life as you can. You're a long time dead, people say. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. No matter how you live, everybody ends up the same way, dead. If only it were that simple. What must I do to be saved? There's a little bit of bad in every good little boy or girl, and there's some good in even the worst of us. It's a common philosophy. Surely the things I have done will be erased by all the good things that I do. My hard work, charity, kindness to animals, to children, and old ladies. God must have some account book where he keeps track of debits and credits. Perhaps they'll balance out in the end. Maybe there'll be a second chance to make things come out even. If only, there might be some truth in all of that. What must I do to be saved? Normally, people believe in God or in some higher being, an ultimate source of light and life and love. People know when they have done wrong. They have a conscience, even the worst of them. Some are able to convince themselves that good is bad and evil is good, and that sin is really fun. But they always find out otherwise in the end. What must I do to be saved from all of that? I'm not perfect, somebody says. Nobody is. I'm not as bad as some other people I know. I'm better than a lot of people you read about. I'm honest. I don't hurt anybody. I work hard and do the best I can. That's about all anybody can expect of me. God doesn't expect me to be perfect. He'll have to take me as I am. And right there, St. Paul steps in and says, you're right about that one thing. He takes you as you are. He takes you into his own heart in the cross of his Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ died for you, imperfect as you are. He atoned for your sins, real as they are. There's forgiveness for you as much as you need. Jesus Christ put himself altogether in your place. He died. When you put your faith in him and trust him only for salvation, you are put altogether in his place as he rose from the dead. There's salvation in no one else except Jesus Christ. And there is salvation in nothing else except his death on his cross for you. Believe on the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved. That's the word of the Lord, which St. Paul preached to the jailer and his family. It's the word of the Lord that I preach to you today. It's the same good news for everybody. God purposely chose what the world considers nonsense in order to shame the wise, and he chose what the world considers weak in order to shame the powerful. He chose what the world looks down on and thinks of as nothing in order to destroy what the world thinks is important. That means that no one can boast in God's presence. God has made Christ to be our wisdom. In him we are put right with God. By him we become God's people and are set free. So then, as the scripture says, whoever wants to boast must boast of what the Lord has done. The good news of God puts us all in our place. We have, none of us, anything to recommend ourselves to God. God recommends his love to us in that while we were yet sinners, boasting about ourselves, Christ died for us. That's the good news of God. It's good news for you, right where you are. In exactly the same way, it's good news for me. It's good news for everybody. Christ died for us. What may look like nothing to some and like foolishness to others, this is the cross of Christ carrying the wisdom of God and the power of God, even Christ himself. The cross of Christ is at the crossroads of life. It is the great alternative to everything associated with death. It is life in all its glory. Christ said, if the Son shall make you free, you will be free indeed. Have you ever been in a car traveling at top speed, then you discover you're on the wrong road? You've been making very good time, but you've been on the wrong road. You're lost. You're farther away from your destination than you were when you began. For all of you have been on that road, away from God, depending on yourself instead of upon God, maybe parading your own piety instead of receiving the grace of God. I have a good word. Believe on the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. The jailer at Philippi was in a bad way. The earthquake which opened the cells of that jail did not kill him, but his bosses would when they found out about it. Then came the good news. Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. That's still the only answer to the great question, what must I do to be saved? There's nothing you can do to be saved. Jesus has done everything. He met the worst that any of us has to meet, death itself. He did the best he could. He died for the sins of the world. What must you do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved. That's exactly what Jesus Christ was always saying to people. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. I'm the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. What must you do to be saved? Believe in Jesus, and you will be saved. There's nothing else you need to do. There's nothing else you can do. There's nothing else to be done except to believe in Jesus. For the sake of Jesus, his Son, God, your Father, accepts you into his family. It's the gospel. It's the good news of God, granting the gift of faith. I know a lot of people want to add something to that. But there it is. The gospel is all from God. Salvation is all from God. Forgiveness is all from God. It's all from God. It doesn't come from me, even though I'm telling you about it today. It's all from God. People who believe in Jesus obey and love Jesus, but not in order to be saved. They love and obey him because they are saved. They know something, which a fine old woman put into words for me one day from her hospital bed. The blood of Jesus Christ, she said, cleanses me from all sin. She had lived a good life, a wonderful life. There was a lot of joy and some sorrow, but she had life, life as it was meant to be. Believe on the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved. You have life instead of death. That's not just a choice, an option, a preference among a lot of things. It's the great alternative between two roads, both of which are mutually exclusive. You can take one or the other. You can't take both. Take the greatest and the most blessed alternative. Believe on the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved. Amen.